What's up, everybody? Thanks so much for joining me. Episode 5 of The Carlo Show on JakeRadioLive.com. This week, I speak with Mad TV alumnus and comedy legend Aries Spears. With over 30 years in the stand-up game, also doing TV, film, podcasting, this man does it all. Let's roll it, baby.
Ridiculous. It's a radio show. It ain't a one-hour television spectacular.
From my cold, dead hand.
You know what I found out growing up totally shocked me? White kids are just as shocked to find out black kids don't talk back to their parents as we are when we hear them talk back to theirs. Because I used to have a little buddy would come over my house on the weekends, a little Nate. We'd be in my room playing video games. My mother used to come in the room on us and cuss me out for no reason. Just scare the shit out of both of us, right? We'd be in the room playing Mario Brothers. She'd come kick open the door like SWAT. We on level 4. She'd just, Aries, how many times I done told you to clean this motherfucking room? Cut that goddamn game off and clean this room. I come back, this motherfucking room ain't clean. I'm gonna take that Nintendo cord, wrap it around your neck, and stick it in your ass. Nigga, I ain't playing with you. This ain't no threat. This a promise. Try me, motherfucker. Try me. My white friend would turn to me offended like, dude, what the fuck? She can't do that, man. This is your space. This is your area. She's violating your right to privacy. You should say something. You want me to go say something? I'd be so scared. I started talking to him like a slave from Roots, like, he was gonna get me's in troubles. I like you, Nate. I really do. But my parents is good black folk. They gives me food. They gives me sleeps. Now you get away from around here with that foolishness. Get from here. Oh, Lord, Lord. My mother smacked the shit out of the white boy. He turned into me. Wade in the water. It's crucial, man.
Aries Spears, thank you so much for doing this, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
No problem, brother.
You just did wrapped up a 3-day stint in Miami. And I wanted to ask you, you know, in this culture we live in, this sensitive time right now, has your approach to writing or performing changed at all?
No, not at all. It's ironic that I was in Florida, too, because I always say, when it comes to my material and my thought process, I'm very Floridian in the sense that I stand my ground.
Mm-hmm. So you've never seemed to me like someone who's going to censor yourself. I cut you off. You started out when you were 14 years old, and I want to just ask you, you're on the road all the time. Do you ever see, like, there's a story, you know, when Eddie Murphy first saw Chris Rock, he was just like, you know, this kid's got it. Do you ever see 20-year-olds or 19-year-olds that remind you of yourself who just have that poise and that control early on to do stand-up?
I'm sure he or she is out there, but to be honest, man, I'm so engulfed in being on the road and doing stand-up every week.
Yeah.
And I hardly ever get a break. I don't really get a chance to watch too much comedy, you know, really up and coming.
Right.
I'm a little bit stuck in my ways, stubborn. You know, I like the guys that I like who have been around for a long time or who may not be around anymore. God rest his soul.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm kind of stuck in those guys, you know what I mean?
Sure. I think there's something lacking, the same way you've talked about how today's hip-hop, a lot of it's lyrically garbage. I honestly don't see a lot of stand-ups that move me like the way you did, or Patrice, or Bill Burr, people like that, who I just, you know, best in the game. On that same note, you performed all over the U.S., in Europe, Australia, and even in Dubai, I guess. Does your act translate well in other countries?
You know, it's a tough transition at first because you kind of have to feel it out first, especially if you've never been there.
Sure.
See what works and what doesn't. But for the most part, anything involved in like pop culture or anything from a human level experience that we all go through, relationships, sex,
sure,
want to kill your spouse, hate your kids, that's all the stuff.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that you can relate to no matter where you go. Some of the other stuff in terms of, like, race might be a little bit hard to cross over, only because racially those countries don't have the history that America has had.
Of course not. Yeah.
You know, they get some of it kind of because of what they read in the paper or have seen on the news or, you know, on the internet. They kind of get from, they know of it, but they're not as familiar with it as you would be if you're from, you know, America.
Right. They haven't felt it firsthand or anything like that.
And
you,
exactly.
Is it true, did I see you on Breakfast Club? Did you say you got, I'm just curious, did you get 80 grand for playing one show in Dubai? Is that true or something like that?
Yeah.
How does that come about? Is that a corporate gig or some, do you play for a king? What happened there?
Nah, the Saudis just got money, baby.
Rolling in paper.
They just high rolling like that.
All right, well, to going back a little bit to, you know, you saying that it's hard to spot young talent today. What advice would you give to, say, a 20-year-old open micer who wants to start stand-up in 2019?
You know, I would always say, you know, just dive head first. You know, and when you go to an open mic, don't bring your friends and family with you because that's a false sense of illusion.
Yeah.
That's an illusion. It's a false sense of hope. Because, you know, you got people that want to see you do well, so they're already emotionally invested in you.
Sure.
And they're not going to be as quick to tell you the truth.
Right.
People who don't know you. So if you really want to know the truth,
strangers. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you stink, get the hell out the line. Cause you're holding it up for the people that are good.
That's true. You have to wait a long time in that back room watching people who suck can suck and be an inconvenience.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like being on the other side of the velvet rope, trying to get into Studio 54.
Oh man.
Out trying to get in, the better you can.
Exactly.
If you stink, get the hell out the line.
Right. Well, speaking of stinking, who today, in today's comedy world, who are some of the people out there that you admire? I know you like Bill Burr. Who are some of the ones you look at and you're like, that's a cat, that's someone I need to watch?
Oh, Dave Chappelle is the king of comedy.
Yeah.
He is truly the king of comedy. You know, Dave, Bill Burr, and like I said, God rest his soul, Reese O'Neill.
Oh, don't get me started on him. I love him.
Yeah.
There's not an appearance that man ever did that didn't crack me up. I just...
Yeah, he was one of the best.
Oh, my God. And brutal and just ruthlessly honest.
Yeah.
And I loved him. Well, Mad TV, you were there for 8 seasons, one of the longest cast members on this series. Can you take me back to how you got that job?
It's kind of a really complex, complicated story, but long story short.
Sure.
Back at a time when they were given holding deals to talent, I had basically made my rounds for the first 4 to 5 years I was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I had a holding deal with every major network.
Wow.
Didn't produce anything. So it was, you know, fate and good timing would have it. The third season of Mad TV, I happened to have a deal with Fox. The president of the network told them, hey, put this guy on, because they actually wanted me the first season when I auditioned for Mad TV, but I was already locked into a holding deal with another network. So, as fate would have it, a couple years later,
mm-hmm.
When I finally come back around to Mad TV in its third season, I had left my deal with, I happened to have to be in the same, network as them, which was on Fox. So
right.
It happened to work out that way.
And you were just scouted out of just from your success as a New York comic? Is that what led to the deal?
More or less, I grabbed the attention.
Sure.
Of a manager out here in L.A.
Okay.
After my Def Comedy Jam appearance when I was 16 years old.
Yep.
And then when I came out here, I did some guest warm-up for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is for the MC.
Right.
D.L. Hewley.
Okay.
He had let me come up and do a 5-minute guest spot, and word kind of spread from there.
And do you ever miss the schedule of doing TV on a weekly basis?
Sure. You know, absolutely. I mean, it's a different kind of grind.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's a good grind. You know, no matter what the grind is, staying up on the road, television, movie, it's all a fun grind.
Right. So you're not one of these comics who is like, man, I don't want to sit around and wait for them to light shit. I don't want to spend all this time in my trailer. You enjoy the process of, you enjoy acting.
Yeah, because you could be, you know, what's better to sit around and wait in a nightmare condition? Luxury trailer to work, or to be working your ass off at a job you hate.
That's true.
But you don't get to sit around and take a break.
That's very true. That's great. Speaking of that, are you working on anything right now, project-wise, that we might not know about, anything in the future works?
Right now, I'm tied up on this road trying to put this major tour together, starting in September. So other than that and my podcast, I'm on God's good humor.
Right. Well, it's a great – I've enjoyed your podcast a lot. It's funny. I had heard of Andy Steinberg, but I'd never seen him. I expected him to look like Paul Reiser or Jerry Seinfeld or so for some reason. And I look up, and it's like a roadie for the Grateful Dead is your sidekick. It's you guys are great.
Yeah,
you guys are great together, man.
It's like a cross between Woody Allen, Rick Rubin,
yeah,
and you know, a little classic that's leading Jew.
Well, it's a great podcast. You guys do great work. Can I ask if I'm not sure if you're in the car there with anyone? I just wanted to know what would DMX. DMX has been out of prison for a little bit. He's been getting work. I just wanted to know if maybe he was around there. Maybe you could ask him. DMX, man, how do you feel about being out and free and, you know, being a viable unit now in Hollywood?
I hate to be a party pooper, brother. I don't ever do impressions over the phone.
Oh, no problem.
Because they never sound as good over the phone as they do live when I'm at the radio station. And my biggest concern, somebody always will hear it and go, oh, that sounded like shit.
Oh, no worries, man. I totally get it.
Save that for the radio, man.
I totally get it. I had to ask for one.
I got you, brother.
Can I ask you really quickly? I don't know if you can say no comment. I just happened to notice you posted something on Instagram today about Bobby Lee, about Joey Diaz and Rogan. Do you want to elaborate on that, or is that a no comment?
I mean, I just think it's self-explanatory. You know, one of the terms that has been used to describe Hollywood is Hollyweird. And this is just a weird business, and it's just amazing to me where people just can't be genuine and be honest. And it's just, there's so much hypocrisy, and it's layered with so much bullshit that I just don't understand why people can't just be honest. You know, it's easy to get somebody out of your face if you're just honest with them. Otherwise, if you string them along, play games, you know, if certain people are persistent, which I think is a trait you have to have in this business, is to be persistent. Then, you know, it's like that's a dirty game to play with someone. Because being persistent is a good thing. And I think that, you know, when you string people along and you rather than tell them the truth, you know, that's a bad character on your part.
Right.
You know, just be honest. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love Patrice so much. Because of his brutal honesty.
Oh, man.
Like, if you don't want to help me out, you don't want to put me on, just tell me that. I'll respect you more. But don't tell me one thing, and then when I'm persistent, you make me out to be the asshole because I'm persistent.
Right.
You want me out of your face, tell me get out of your face.
Right. Right. Well, that makes sense. You know, they do their thing, you do your thing. Let me just give you a plug.
The only thing I'm missing out on is the fact that in the podcast, is how you grow.
Yeah.
You do other people's podcasts. Especially, you know, the more popular the podcast is, the better it helps you. So
yeah.
As far as hoping to gain any sort of gratification other than trying to grow, yeah, you're right. I'm not missing out on anything. I'm not missing anything.
Right. I mean, you've been on the road over 30 years. You haven't slowed down. I'm assuming you can do this until you're 70 if you want to. I mean, maybe you don't want to, but you're going to...
Dear God, I hope I don't have to.
Yeah, right. And right now there's nothing... you did something recently with Amanda Ferrara. I saw on your Instagram. I didn't catch the title. You did a guest spot on her show?
She's producing and directing a new show. God, this is going to sound so lame because I don't remember the name of it offhand.
Okay.
It's a new show coming to Netflix.
Okay.
I did like a small cameo guest spot.
Okay. I'll plug it later on the wrap up when I do it. So I'll look it up. Don't worry about it, man. Well, let me just say to people who are fans of you, and there are millions, Ari Spears will be at the Houston Improv August 2nd to 4th. For more information, go to ariespears.com. Check him out on Instagram. Check out the Spears Steinberg podcast. Are you still banned from Twitter, man?
Yeah, man, I think so.
And that was just over, I heard you say on some show that you were just getting passionate about Obama. And just for that, they banned you?
No, it's a little bit more complex than that. You know, I was arguing with a bunch of people who were Trump supporters.
Oh.
Long story, but, you know, when they defend their mascot, you know, it's easy for people to show up in droves now and want to report you as spam or anytime you go against the grain of what they believe in.
Right.
So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah, they automatically brand you a hater. And that's, yeah, that's
exactly.
It. Well, I appreciate you forging forward and, you know, doing your thing in this crazy ass sensitive time. Keep at it. I appreciate you very much talking to me today, man. Been a big fan for a long time.
Oh, no problem, brother.
All right.
And to those listening, catch the Spears and Steinberg podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play.
Sounds great, man. I appreciate it. Ari Spears, take care, brother.
Anytime, brother.
Okay. I'll see you at a show sometime.
Yes,
sir. All right, bye. Well, very nice man, very funny individual. By the way, before I forget, the show that he forgot the name of was produced by the actress that I've messed up the name of. The show is Hentified, and it's America Ferrara. I knew that. I watched Superstore. So check out Hentified, and Ari Spears is a cameo appearance on the show coming soon to Netflix. Like I said, for more information on Ari Spears, go to ariespears.com for tour dates and info. Special thanks to Malky Means King and B-Town Studios. Go to btownstudios.com. Want to give a shout out to Blue Microphones, makers of the Yeti. My good friends Chad and Brian Geller at Ultimate Ears. Go to ultimateears.com. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Look out for episode 6 coming up soon. This is The Carlo Show on jakeradiolive.com. Be good. Thank you.